This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The USDA has laid down new standards of nutrition for school meals, school vending machines, and snack bars. The USDA wants to limit fat, sugar, sodium, and calories. A study by a team at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research finds how badly school menus and food offerings needed to be overhauled. Yvonne Terry McElrath is an author of the study. Yvonne, what are the five school nutrition components called for by these USDA standards?
They actually call for a lot of different areas. And our study only looked at a few very specific ones that would be easy to confirm. We didn't look at specific nutrient, caloric, sodium content levels that would require some pretty serious analysis. So we looked at things that you could easily determine, are they there, are they not there? So for example, we looked at, are there fruits or vegetables available wherever foods are served? Are there any sugar-sweetened beverages available? And so for middle schools, that includes regular sodas, high-calorie fruit drinks, and sports drinks. For high schools, it doesn't include sports drinks just because there's a few specific calorie differences at the high school level. We also looked at whether or not they had French fries, deep fat-fried fries. There are ways of making fries that are baked, but we were looking only at the deep-fried. We also looked at, are there candy regular fat snacks available? So that would include candy, of course, and then high-fat baked goods, you know, chips, that kind of
thing. The stuff that we see in, like, for example, highway rest stop vending machines.
Yes.
Like, we're nothing good.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all good, but it's not good, if you know
exactly
what I mean.
Yes.
Sure. So you were trying to determine if schools at the middle school and the high school level were conforming with what the USDA recommended.
At the time we were in the schools. Now, at the time we were in the schools, it was 5 years. We went from 2007 and 8, school year 07 to 08, up to school year 11-12. And it's important for people to understand the new USDA requirements that were put in place as a result of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010. They didn't start implementation until the 12-13 school year. So we're looking at what it looked like before.
Okay.
And then gradually the new standards were put into place. They started that first year for a lot of this. Most of the school meal requirements were put into place then. And then they're slowly being rolled out. This current year is the first year for what we call competitive venue standards. Those mean standards for anything that competes with the school lunch meal. So vending machines, stores, snacks, a la carte sales, all that kind of stuff. We were looking at what did things look like before the new standards went into effect, so we could get an idea of how much of an impact are we likely to see from these new standards.
So these new standards, again, as we were saying, want to limit fat and sodium and calories and sugar. So they're all good things. So leading up to that, give us an idea how many middle school kids were at schools where those standards had been in place.
Very, very few. If you're looking at all the five that we looked at, and there's one thing I should probably add to this as well. The requirement that fruit and vegetables be available wherever foods are sold is sort of it's a requirement for school meals. It's a suggestion for competitive venues. So there is a slight adjustment for that. The healthy people recommendations say that should be in there. It's not part of the competitive snack guidelines. But what we found is that almost no one was in a school that had all five of these. Less than 2% of all middle school students attending public schools in the United States, and less than 1% of high schools. Virtually no one was in a school where the whole nutrition environment, again, this is meals and stuff you can buy outside of meals, where it was a solid, healthy, nutritional surrounding.
And of course, some of that is, shall we say, market driven, because what are they going to buy? What are the kids going to want to eat? It is going to be the French fries, or it's going to be the candy bar. In fact, I remember serving as lunchroom mom at my children's grade school, my child's grade school. And when the bell rang and they had to go out to the playground, when I saw the things that were getting pitched away and mom had carefully packed the apples and the fruit, either they were being traded for cookies or they were just being tossed.
That is one of the concerns that has been raised about the new standards. There are organizations that are very concerned that these standards are too difficult to implement in U.S. schools. And they cite concerns such as increased waste, the cost that's associated with having to provide healthy fruits and vegetables, trying to make the switches to whole grain. whether it's crackers or breads
or buns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A pasta is a big one, trying to find whole grains that the kids will eat and enjoy. And so there have been different organizations that have said, no, we need to roll these things back. They're too problematic. And then we have other organizations that say, it's a hard thing to make a big change like this. If you think about deciding to make your home kitchen healthy, it requires some hard work, trying new things. You try some things, they don't work. You try other things, they do work. It's a period of transition. And so there have been difficulties, but there are also really good success stories that are coming out as well.
And the hope is that the long-range data will support that kids are going to be healthier, because what are we seeing with these schools? You're telling us that fewer than 2% of middle school kids have been at schools where all of these components are in place, and less than 1%. And what are we seeing of high school students? And then what are we seeing in terms of obesity in these groups?
There are a lot of different studies that have looked at this. For ours, and again, we're just taking a very tiny slice of the different new standards that are going to be involved. For the ones that we looked at, we found that for high school students, if you have three or more of the five standards that we looked at, you're much less likely to have overweight and obesity among your students. The predicted probabilities were about 2.3 percentage points lower. And you might think, what's 2.3 percentage points? That ends up to be roughly 200,000 kids. And so while it's a small percentage point difference, it can be very meaningful in terms of some individual's life. And you put a lot of those individuals together, and it can make a big impact from a public health perspective in terms of dealing with the health consequences of overweight and obesity.
So what should we take away from your research?
I think there's a tremendous opportunity for our students, for our middle school students, our high school students, and of course our elementary students, to have much better nutrition when they walk in a school. And that improved nutrition has been shown to translate into better outcomes. In studies other than ours, and in ours we found at both the middle school and the high school level, if you look at some different components, for example, sugar-sweetened beverages, if you didn't have sugar-sweetened beverages anywhere in your school, minority students were much less likely to be overweight, obese at both the middle school and high school levels. And so you can have a big impact for a subpopulation of your overall students, as well as an impact on your students overall. Different studies have shown in the past that when states have made strong policy gains, they've seen improvements in student nutrient intake, decreases in student fat intake, improvements in overweight obesity. And so if we have this kind of national ability to improve state nutrition environments, that can mean all of our kids have the opportunity for better outcomes, as opposed to just being in a state where that particular state has made an improvement in their policies.
So we hang in there and watch these get implemented and phased in, and it'll be interesting to see if we were having this conversation, let's say, in 10 years, what kind of impact it could have.
And I think the important thing for that is to make sure we do hang in, because there are efforts to try and either turn down the level of strength of some of the policies or to provide waivers for schools to get out of them altogether. And if we stop now, we're going to be still at the point where we were, where almost no one had these good nutrition environments. Change is hard. Schools definitely need support to make the changes. USDA is trying to provide grants for kitchen equipment, the ability for training, education. We just need to keep moving forward and continue to improve what we can offer our students.
Yvonne, thanks so much for talking with us today.
It was my pleasure.
Yvonne Terriot-McElrath is with the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research.